Webster's Dictionary defines culture as the set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterize an institution or an organization. Culture is a buzzword today that we all talk about a lot in sports organizations, in volleyball, and all across the board of all sports. You hear a lot about culture. And one of the things that I'd like everybody to think about when you start talking about culture is the four questions that follow. You know, what do you want your culture to be? Why do you want your culture to be that way? How will your program benefit from that culture? And how do you get there? How do you develop that culture? And I think those are four things that you want to look at when you sit down and start defining what your culture is going to be. And looking at successful cultures through the years, you know, we're all involved in volleyball, and I've always been involved in sports. I was always a big football fan. I played college football. So I look at cultures in certain ways. Take a look at the New England Patriots culture. I mean, they call it the Patriot way. And Bill Belichick is an extremely strong top-down leader who had a great partnership and relationship with Tom Brady, who drove that team to multiple Super Bowl championships. And Bill Belichick is obviously a brilliant coach, but also had a great partner in Tom Brady along the way, and it was always team first. And the Patriot way is about team first, team only, basically team first. But it's been very successful. I look back at the 1960s Green Bay Packers, led by Vince Lombardi, who actually the Super Bowl trophy is named after Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi is now looked at as pretty much of a dictatorial leader, but his guys loved him. And I've read a lot of books by ex-Packers and or retired Packers, and even when Lombardi went to the Washington Redskins for the 1 year before he died of cancer, the guys loved playing for him. And so there was obviously value there in the way he was teaching the game, the things he was emphasizing, what he wanted to accomplish, and the confidence he brought to players. Look at other football organizations, and I'll take the Oakland Raiders, for instance, and Al Davis was their owner and their leader back in the day, and you know, his motto was just win, baby. And so he brought in a lot of different characters, successful players, but the Oakland Raiders always had a different attitude from what the Patriots are now or things like that. They were kind of a group of misfits, and a lot of times the evil empire of the NFL. But also the Oakland Raiders were very successful back in the days, long ago, obviously. Look at sports like basketball, Chicago Bulls, and the Los Angeles Lakers, led by Phil Jackson, 11 championships. And Phil Jackson was very strong in the Native American culture. So he developed a tribe, basically, and brought his guys together and tried to build this tribal relationship where the group was so strong and believed in the same goals. But at the same time, Jackson had the two probably ultimate alpha male competitors on the teams that he coached in Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Look at UConn women's basketball, another dominant dynasty in basketball. Gino Auriemma is an extremely strong leader, typically blunt in his communication, but clearly gets his players to play at a really, really high level. They believe in the system. They believe in the culture as well. And they've been very successful. I look back at the 1980s USA men's national volleyball team, who won gold medals in Los Angeles in 1984. And then they won the 1988 gold medal in Seoul, Korea. And between that, they won the 86 World Championship. And the theme in the USA men's gym was just competition. I mean, it was highly competitive. It would get emotional at times. The guys were fighting all the time to just compete at the highest level possible. And that confidence and that competition, daily competition, just brought out the best in everybody. And they had a lot of success. Probably the ultimate culture of success is the Navy SEALs or the Special Forces in the military. I mean, these are the ultimate warriors. And if you look at how they become so successful, it's intriguing to me in some ways because, you know, they go through this brutal training that's absolutely horrendous. They're broken down at every level. It's degrading. It's humiliating. But they come out Superman on the other side. And I think one of the things that we have to look at as youth and junior organizations is we're not looking to really be the New England Patriots or the Navy SEALs. But I think what we want to do is we want to ask ourselves, What kind of lessons can we learn? What kind of value can we take away from these organizations that have been successful? And it seems like shared struggles and sacrifices is a big thing. I mean, people, a group of people going through difficult situations and figuring out how to come out the other side. Players and coaches committed to greatness. I mean, in every one of those dynasties, you've got a coach or leadership that's absolutely committed to being the best every day. You've also got players that absolutely want to win or want to compete at the highest level. I think those are things that you see in common. You've got individuals across the board that are willing to pay the price to reach a common goal. And that culture that's developed becomes your organizational philosophy. And the way Lombardi worked, or the way Belichick works, or the things that are important to all leadership, that becomes the philosophy of your organization. So one of the things that you look at as a coach or a club director is, what do you want your culture to be? And at Sports Performance, we have a saying, it's called code and culture. And we build everything in our program, everything around that saying. And our code is how we operate each and every day with no exception. And what we do with our code is we call attention to detail. It's ATD. And you'll see on a lot of our stuff, it'll say ATD. And that means attention to detail. And it's basically what we do each day. And when we do it, we do it to the best of our ability. We don't leave any stones unturned. Our bags are lined up. Our shirts are tucked in. If there's a lineup, we line up correctly. All the things that we think are really important, all the little things which turn into really big things, that's our attention to detail. And by doing that on a daily basis, we have what we feel is a commitment to excellence, because the commitment to excellence is a result of the daily commitment to detail. And those are things that are really, really important for us. And it's been that way for almost 4 decades since we were founded. And the goal at the very beginning, back in the early 80s, was that we wanted to be different. We wanted to be an alternative to what kids had in other volleyball clubs. And we purposely have set ourselves apart to be that way. It wasn't meant to just win championships, or it wasn't meant to be a certain way, but it was meant to be different, so we would give options or alternatives to what we would think would be unique individuals who are looking for that. And I mean, some of the things that we do in our program that we purposely do that kind of weed out maybe the what I would call the 75%er from the 100%er is we've always had Friday night practices for our high school age groups. And if for us in our mind, if Friday night's a deal breaker for you as a teenage girl or a boy, then you're probably not the right person for our program. And it would be much easier for us to probably have our younger kids practice on Friday night or take Friday night off, but we purposely practice on Friday night. First of all, it's not a school night. Second of all, a lot of times we play on Saturday, so a practice the night before a morning match is actually a great way to prep, because you've come off of a good practice, maybe a really highly competitive practice. You play the next morning, 12 hours later, and you're sharp right there. So Friday night training for us has been something that we've done forever, and it will never be on the table to be as an option. It's not debatable that we're gonna take a look at removing that, because we think it allows us to really, in a pretty easy way, draw better kids who are not don't mind giving up their Friday nights. Another thing we have is we have an outdoor winter program that we go to. All of our high school kids go to in the December, January months, and it's up in Wisconsin. And we go up on Friday. We sleep in unheated cabins. We're outside all day Saturday, part of Sunday. Sometimes it's 10, 20 below zero. It's just brutally cold at times. The kids are up in the air 30, 40 feet on walls and ladders, and doing a lot of problem solving with leadership and guides and counselors who put them through a lot of difficult situations. And what a lot of people do team building wise, they'll do in the summer. We want to do it in the middle of the winter. We want to be in the harshest conditions. It's extremely difficult if you're afraid of heights, don't handle cold well. I mean, it's going to be really challenging for you. And so the goal is to take everybody out of their comfort zone for the whole weekend. And things can get pretty emotional there. Things can get pretty heated. You're always asked to do things that you're not comfortable doing, but it really completely changes a lot of people because it's so challenging. Another thing we look at is our expectations for daily work. I mean, one of the things that we tell our kids are, you in any given year, you should put more time into your skill outside of a normal practice setting than you do in practice. And we normally practice, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, sometimes 5 days a week. We really encourage our kids to really get in the gym and put more time in on their own. I mean, be a gym rat or be a student of the game. And so it's not uncommon for our kids to put a lot of time in the gym outside of practice. And in our club, we treat the program as if they're a family. So if you belong to the club, we have free courts. You can come in and use the courts anytime you want, but you're expected to do your work. And so, we have this program called NDO, No Days Off. And it was started several years ago by having kids would set team goals or individual goals on the Wisconsin Outward Bound retreat. And someone would say, I want to work every day. I don't want to take any days off. How can I do that in a manner? And so we started the NDO program, which is the No Days Off program. And we now have a program in place where kids every year will go the entire season without taking a day off. And the rules are fairly strict. I mean, you have to leave your house to count as a not a day off. You can go to the gym and work. You can go somewhere and work out, but you've got to be actively involved in trying to make yourself better. And we generally start that in December, and it runs through the club season. So I think this year we had kids go 180 some days without a day off. And a lot of kids will start it every year. There's six or seven that accomplish it. But they take a lot of pride in the fact that they don't have a day off during the year. They always do something to make themselves better, whether it's a hot yoga class or it's a workout, or they're coming to the gym for extra skill work or something like that. But it's become a very important part of our program, and they get certificates, and we give them nice sweatshirts. And you're pretty unique because in a club with 400 girls, 40 teams, there's only six or seven every year that can make it all the way through. So we think the NDO program is a great opportunity for our kids to really demonstrate and model their commitment. The other thing we do is every year at the end of our season, I mean, literally at the end of our season, when we finish the season, we have a saying that next year starts tomorrow. And we want kids, when they get done with our national championships, we normally have had a team day and things like that in the past, but we want the kids who are returning to think about, how am I going to get better? How am I going to lead? I'm going to go back and get in the weight room. I mean, we're really big on cyclic training, so you don't go back and go into practice right away, but you look at the weaknesses you might have as a player. You look at the weaknesses that you might have, found this in this preceding season with your skills or with teammates, and everybody tries to make themselves better. I remember Larry Bird. I read a book by Larry Bird, the great basketball player, one time, and he said he couldn't wait for the end of the season because he could go home and practice by himself and he could get better. And it's one of the things right now you see a lot across all sports. I mean, these individual workouts of basketball, football, and baseball players do to try to make their skills better on a regular basis. So it's always net tomorrow is a chance to always get better. And our saying always is next year starts tomorrow. And so it's one of the things we look at. And also one of the things that we find out is that our culture, because of the standards and the high expectations, our culture draws a different kind of kid. And it's not a kid who's looking for a shortcut or the easy way out. It's a kid who's looking to be challenged at the highest level. And so, we're always going to lose kids that might have a lot of talent, but maybe they're not ready to be that committed. They don't feel like they need to be that committed. But for us, it's the ability to have that kid who comes in, because we think that the journey along the way is way more important than the end product. So that's one of the things that we look at. And we draw a lot of overachievers. When we get kids that come in, and when you talk about not taking days off, it gets them excited. They like that challenge. They're not afraid of it. Same thing with having Friday nights. I mean, they're not afraid of coming out on Friday night, giving up Friday night, maybe of socializing with high school friends or something like that, because the challenge to make themselves better is they're just wired that way. I think one of the key things about our program is that we're player driven versus team success driven. And we've had a lot of team success. We've won a lot of championships over the years, but our training model is based on you getting better as a player. So there's a lot of onus put on you as a player to make yourself better. Because in club volleyball, players come to you, they come to the club because they're always leaving to go to another team. I mean, high school players and college players, a lot of times that's the last team they'll play on. But rarely does anybody come to a club and go, my career's over right now. Either they want to play on a higher team on their high school team, or they want to get to college. But we're a training ground. Clubs are a training ground for player development. So some clubs put everything together for their teams to be successful. They want their 18-1 and 17-1 and 16-1 team. They do everything in their power to make those teams championship teams. And for us, we want as many players developed to be elite players as possible. And the more players we have working hard every day to be the best players possible, the more competitive our gym gets, the more players are fighting to get better than the player right next to them. So what you have is you have a culture of competitiveness within your culture, where players are always fighting to get on a higher team. And so it's not just the 10 or 12 best players on one team. It's a bunch of kids fighting to be on, like in our gym, everybody says, I want to get on court two, I want to get behind the blue curtain. So it's kids always working to get better themselves, which obviously is a win-win for them. I mean, the more these kids do and try to help themselves, the more we encourage them to get in there and make themselves better and provide the opportunities for them to do that, then the more our gym becomes competitive. And, we practice with two teams on a court. We often practice 12 courts at the same time. So we'll have 24 teams going on nights that we compete. I mean, if you win, you go north. If you lose, you go south. We might have ninth grade teams down competing against high, junior, senior teams, just because of the level of competition. So it's one of the things that we really strive to do is to really encourage every single player to be the absolute best player possible, because then they always have hope to get better. So instead of team driven, it's always going to be player driven. It's one of the things that we think is really important. We also have a leadership policy, which I think or structure, which really works well for us. I mean, we with our 40 girls teams, every team has two captains, and so that's 80 captains right there within our program. We also have a program captain or program captains in the 2021 season. We actually have three people in that program captain position. It's just gotten the program's gotten so big, it's hard for one person to handle that program captain position. But what happens? We have a leadership structure set up, and our program captain, once a week, meets with the team captains. And so there will be a the ca program captain will meet with all the 13, 14 captains. If we have, let's say, 16 teams in that age group, there'll be 32 captains. She'll meet with all the high school age captains. There's 24 teams in that age group, and she'll every there'll be a meeting every month. And if she's got things that she wants to cover in those meetings, she'll bring that to that meeting. Or if the captains of those teams have things they want to talk to the program captain about, they'll voice their concerns at that meeting as well. And then the program captain, or this year program captains, will come back to me and say, these are issues that maybe the 13s and 14s have, or these are issues that maybe the 9th or 10th grade group has, or so forth. But we really want to put ownership in the players' hands. We want a lot of people to be invested in the process in leadership positions. So another thing that really helps with having so many leaders is that when we're selecting teams, and let's say maybe somebody, a really good player, doesn't get the team they think they want, and we post teams, but they see that they're not on the team that they want to be on, but they see they're a captain on the team they've been selected for. So right away, the disappointment for that player, instead of kind of moping around and maybe feeling like they're undervalued, right away that player understands that she's got leadership responsibilities. And so my relationship with the program captain is bring the problems that you think are really important back to me. If you don't think they're important or you can solve them, make sure you solve them yourself. And amazingly, over the years, I've had very few times that I've had to step in where the program captain hasn't been able to solve problems. And I think that's just a great way to run the program. I think we have strong top leadership in our program, but we really have a lot of kids who are invested, highly invested. And those leaders, the captains on each team, they have a lot of responsibility. If the captains need guidance, they go to the program captain. If the program captain needs guidance, they'll come to me or maybe one of the master coaches in one of the age groups. But it's really worked out well, and we think that it's a model that works well for us based on the culture that we want in our gym and the things we want to do in our gym. One of the things that also is really important is that this culture brings a high standard to people, and it allows you to, I think, maybe demand more because players expect more of themselves. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to, on a day off, we'll have 30, 40 kids in our gym working on their own. The setters will come in, the libros will come in, the attack passers will come in, the middles will come in, they'll come in and they'll use the weight room, or they'll come in and they'll do extra reps. But it's one of the things that we really want to, as a program, we want to try to have the players involved and take as much ownership as possible. And I think the number one thing you have to decide is what you want your culture to be and what you want the culture to stand for. And we think in our program, we use the word toughness. We think toughness is the most important component of for our player, because it allows you to literally every time, literally or figuratively, every time you get knocked down, if you get back up, then you're starting to develop skills and a mindset that allows you to be successful later on. Because the thing that allows you to grow the most is failure. And the more you fail and the more you get back up and overcome that failure, the stronger you're going to be. But if you're not, if you don't have that toughness or what people call grit, if you don't have that grit about you, then you're losing a pretty much an irreplaceable quality that every great player and every great team has, and that you have to have that. And one of the things that's that you look at is you look at how you develop that. And so you plan, we plan our practices, the things that we talked about, the winter retreats, those kind of things. They all evolve around what we think toughness. And toughness for us allows us to go after that code and culture concept every day, and that attention to detail, which creates a commitment to excellence on a regular basis. But I think one of the things that you want to do as a club director or a coach is you want to decide what you want your culture to be. Your culture doesn't have to be about winning championships. It doesn't have to be about developing scholarship athletes. It doesn't have to be about any of those things. But whatever your culture is going to be, you want to be consistent with it, okay? And you want to establish this daily code that you have that's going to help your culture thrive and succeed. And you want to make sure on day one, basically, that everyone in your organization understands clearly what the goals and the standards and the expectations are for the staff, for the coaches, for the players, even for the parents. I mean, you want to be clear about what your expectations are. We have that. We have a contract and that says exactly what we have for practice expectations, exactly what we have for tournament expectations, when we're going to leave events, things like that. And we just want to be clear about it, because I think if you go into it with open eyes from all areas, you have a lot less problems that way. And we find that we have relatively few issues with parents and player issues and things like that, because we work really, really hard to try to be clear and concise about how we want everybody to see the organization. Having everybody on the same page is going to be really important, okay? And also, you're not going to be able to accommodate everybody. It's just not going to happen. And so the thing you have to decide as a leader or coach or director is, do you have this big tent philosophy where everybody's going to be included, and you're going to try to include as many people as possible? And if you have that, you may lose some people who are really focused on, achieving excellence at the highest level. Or if you're going to be a program that's going to be geared towards only the very best players or only the highest standards, then just mathematically in society, you're not going to be able to have a large number of people, because there just aren't going to be that many high achievers. So one of the most important things is what do you want your culture to be? And our culture has literally been driven since day one by a few guidelines and a few principles. And there's some things we won't budge on. We're not going to be flexible on, let's say, Friday night, or our attention to detail. We've changed a lot tactically and technically over the years. I mean, the way the game is taught and the standards of the game and things like that. But there's certain things that we don't give up on. We don't let go. Those are going to be our core values all the way through. But I think the most important thing is to make sure you understand what your culture is going to be. I really think that having your players believe in the culture is going to be really important. Having your alumni believe in the culture, having your alumni come back and talk about, the things that they experience. And we're really big on that in our program. I mean, we talk a lot about family in our program, but it's a tough love family. I mean, it's people who came back and did a lot of hard work. They achieved a lot of great things. And they walk back in the gym, and I think they're very proud of the fact that the kids are working now like they were working 3 or 4 decades ago. And even though the game may have changed in a lot of areas, the core values of the program haven't changed, and really what it takes to be a successful athlete haven't changed at all. So I think that's one of the things that you look at as an organization, is exactly what you want your culture to be. And I think the biggest thing is clarity and consistency and of your purpose. I mean, what do you want? What do you want it to be? How are you going to implement it? What are the things you're going to do? I think the really big thing for us is that we've been consistent about our standards all the way through. It means that we've lost kids along the way. You hit bumps when you're just not going to sacrifice your standards. And also be clear about what you want. But I think the biggest thing that we've noticed, and I believe now in 2020, 2021, our program, the Sports Performance Program, is in the best shape it's ever been in 40 years, from a position of buy-in for our kids, what our kids are doing to buy into to the commitment that we asked from them. You know, all of you guys know that we're in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic right now. And, you know, we've had to be flexible. We've had to, you know, we're going to go to a fall season in the state of Illinois. I mean, there's a lot of things, but we're seeing record numbers of kids register because they want the training. I mean, the thing they say is we want the training that sports performance provides because we want to make ourselves better players. So, the fact that we haven't given up on our model, the fact that we didn't go to a model that was maybe easier for us to handle. I mean, a lot of times we take the hard way because we think it's the best way. And so I think as you sit down as an organization and talk about culture, you look at other people who are successful. And I played college football, so I look at organizations like the Packers from the 60s and the Patriots now, and I admire those organizations. I look at the Navy SEALs, and I wonder, you know, in this day and age of self-esteem and confidence and positive mental attitude and stuff, which are, I mean, we all talk about that a lot. You know, how can people who go through such difficult times and just harsh, humiliating training, like the special forces people do, they're so good when they come on the other side. They're so successful. I think a lot of it is just the toughness or the grit thing that we talked about. When you get knocked down, you get back up. And if I'm going to encourage anything for anybody, I think you want to develop at least some kind of philosophy in your program that's gonna create shared struggles. And the players and the staff have to be committed in certain ways. If there's very little commitment asked of your organization, then you can expect that there's going to be very little commitment given. If you ask a lot, there's going to be some downside to it because there's going to be a lot of people that don't want to be involved in that commitment. But the people who do want to be involved in that commitment are going to be pretty unique and pretty special people. So as you're identifying what you want your culture to be and how you're going to run your organization, I think leadership, two or three things. I think leadership is really important. And I would encourage you to involve your players, your best players, as much as possible. I mean, the fact that we have 400 kids in our program, we have 81 to 83 captains or leaders in our program. A lot of people have leadership roles. And generally, when you give people leadership roles and you give them responsibility and they understand the value of that responsibility and they understand what goes along with that responsibility, you put a firewall in place for your program because you have a lot of people who are looking out for the best interests of your program. And we have just some phenomenal kids who, I mean, they're on the phone with me, they're communicating with me all summer, even during the fall, during the high school season, about things they think are good for the program. We want this to change in our warm-up, active warm-up. Can we try this in the weight room? You know, we'll send videos back and forth, and I really like this, and I want to try this workout. I want to try this app program. Anything that we do, you know, our captains and our leadership go through that. And, you know, it's always tested with them. And these are our most dedicated kids. The kids are going to work hard. The kids are going to be the no days off kids, you know, the kids that are the toughest kids and have toughness and grit about them. And they're such a great sounding board because they allow us to see how far can we push this, you know, and how successful can we be with it. And, you know, we think we work harder now than we ever worked back in the old days. And generally people always talk about how hard it used to be, you know, back in the old days. And, you know, we worked hard. We've always worked hard as an organization. But we think now we work so much more efficiently. We work so much faster. We get much more volume in than we used to, that our players just develop at a much faster rate. And again, our job, I mean, parents don't pay us to come and win national championships. I mean, we as a club love that. We love winning national championships, as everybody does. But the parents come in to pay the money so their individual daughter or son can become a much better volleyball player, and the next level they go to, they can be successful at. So it always comes back to one thing as an organization. I mean, with your culture. I mean, it's in junior volleyball especially. I mean, how do you let every player reach her or his maximum potential at the highest level within your structure or within your slash or your quote culture, within that culture that makes your organization have its own unique personality? And you know, we think it's a key area. People talk about culture all the time. A lot of it is, you know, is extremely important because it shapes how your organization operates. Also, take an organization like the New England Patriots. I mean, when you go to the Patriots, you know, players in the NFL want to go to the Patriots because they lose on other teams. They know if they go to the Patriots, they're going to be on a winning team. And as players get older, they become less and less interested in individual accolades and awards. They become more and more interested in their team being successful. Kind of those championship standards. And championship standards don't mean that you win championships all the time, but it means that your organization or your team is implementing and going after those standards. And I think it's one of the, you hold yourself to the highest standard as far as the way you work and practice and the things that you do, and then you find those people that will go along with you at the same time. So, I think that's a few thoughts I have on culture. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email us. I'm happy to get back to any of you if you have more questions. But it's a big deal for an organization to identify what they want to be. And the things that are going to be really important for them, and the things that maybe won't be so important. And like I say, we have things for us that they're deal breakers. We're not going to change in certain areas, and there's things that we change all the time. So I want to wish everybody the best, and wish your teams all championships, and especially all of you stay safe now during this COVID-19 pandemic time. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.